Now, there's a big push on for audio description. An audio description is an audio line that brings out a lot of the detail in. It could be a play, it could be on television, it could be a tour at a museum, but it's becoming very popular. And Vera Hiarding has been to a recent performance of The Lovely Bones at the Birmingham Rep. And it's based on a best-selling novel by Alice Sebold and adapted by playwright Brian E. Lavery. And it's quite a dark tale. Hi, Vida.
How are you, Simon? Nice to talk to you.
I'm well, thanks. And it is quite a dark tale, isn't it?
It is. I'd not read the book, Simon. I'm not sure whether you have. But I'd like to, funnily enough, as a result of having seen the audio-described drama. So I think that probably tells you that it was quite compelling.
Yes, the main character, Susie, is actually dead through the whole performance, and it's basically preoccupation of trying to find out what happened to her, isn't it?
That's right. It's very much trying to unravel what did happen to her. And it's in the production I saw, it was about 100 minutes in duration, no interval, and that was, again, I think, a clever device because you didn't lose the impact, the momentum, and all the rest of it, and that was very, very effective. So too was the stage tour. Now, for anyone who's not familiar with audio description and audio described performances, very often and almost entirely, this is entirely the case, along with an audio described show, you get the chance to do what they call a touch tour. So that involves going on stage with either the audio describer or perhaps someone from the theatre. And it's an opportunity for visually impaired patrons and perhaps their companions too to explore the set, to have a look at the props, particularly the more unusual ones, to get a feel, literally, in many cases, for the costumes, particularly if they're from a different period. And that helps, I would suggest, to get a context for the production that you're about to see. And when you're sat in the auditorium, then hopefully when things are described through your headset, and indeed when you're reflecting on what's about to happen on stage, you can sort of think in your own mind's eye as to the perspective and what was where in terms of furniture, setting, backdrop, all that sort of thing. So very useful. And really important for this one, I would suggest, because the staging was extremely important and we had that explained to us, and the cast were warming up as we had a look round at some of the props and had various things explained to us. One or two of the props were a little bit grisly because of the opening, one of the characters, and I try not to give anything away, but puts various blood-stained body parts into a sack. So that perhaps not for the faint-hearted, close up on a touch tour, but nonetheless it shows you the type of thing that clearly is an integral part of that particular production, props-wise.
And it's quite interesting, in the recent RNIB quick poll, it was talking about touch tours and audio description, and 18% loved the touch tour, but 82% love audio description. So I thought that was quite an interesting dichotomy, that some people weren't so bothered about the touch tour as such.
Perhaps they feel they know enough about, you know, the story. It depends what people are looking for. Often, if there isn't a lot to see on a set or in terms of costumes and things, then people may feel, well, actually, you know, that they're going for the production anyway. I guess it's when it's more unusual, when there's a historical context, when there's perhaps things in terms of props or whatever that you're not familiar with, that it might be particularly instructive or helpful to go on stage and take advantage of that. And there's also the practical time consideration, because if you are going to avail yourself of the opportunity to take part in a touch tour, it normally happens at least an hour, and very often an hour and a half, before the start of a show. Now, you know, if people are working or they've got other commitments domestically or whatever, it might not be as easy to get in for that earlier slot because, you know, a matinee or an evening performance, 2 or 3 hours out of your time anyway, just for the actual show. So that might be a realistic consideration for some people in that respect.
Now, for somebody who hasn't actually been to one of these performances, Vidar, you obviously can take a friend or a colleague with you, and they get included in the concession,
Absolutely.
Don't they?
Yeah. Each theatre has its own, or each venue has its own policy on that. So very often there are different concessionary ticket prices, and it's obviously worth talking to the box office in each case to find that out. But yes, there very often are, you know, ticket schemes of that kind. And yeah, when you turn up with whoever is with you, you know, you can involve them in going on stage and having a look in the wings at props and costumes and all that sort of thing. So it is very much, you know, something you'd share with people, which I think is important.
And you obviously love the live theatre. What is it that you get from live performances, especially enhanced with audio description of a theatre play, that you wouldn't get from a film, for instance?
I think for me, this is true of being in a concert hall or a theatre with a musical or ballet or play being produced live on stage. There is something about the buzz of being in an auditorium where something is happening for real out front. At home, you can watch telly, you can go to the movies, you can listen to music on CD or Spotify or however you access whatever you like musically. But you can also be sidetracked if you're not in a venue experiencing all of that sort of thing. You know, the phone can go or somebody might call or your mind might wander. No, your mind might wander in the auditorium itself. However, you are sharing an experience with others seated around you who specifically chosen to come and see that, and it might be something with which you're familiar. It might be something you've never seen before. It doesn't really matter. The fact is that you're getting a flavor of something that is being enacted, and it might have a different interpretation to the one you are used to if it's something you do know well. And that might provoke you, might irritate you, it might surprise you, it might be, you know, a really rewarding experience for a whole series of reasons. And I think it's the live aspect that just, for me, adds to, you know, the sense of, you know, enjoying an artistic performance for its own sake, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And again, it's all different for different people. I always remember the first time I saw live theatre, it was the sound of real, you know, feet banging on the stage, and it gives a real, I don't know, it makes it feel really alive at that time, I think, because you're hearing somebody running in front of you across a stage in some plays and things like that.
That's right. And I think, you know, you're also, you know, the curtains go up at the start and then the lights come on in the interval and you've got the applause and you've got a shared experience with people that you're with. And if you're with friends, family, other colleagues, carers, whoever, something you can talk about afterwards. Different actors clearly give different interpretations to key roles, well, to all roles, obviously, but particularly key roles, which is another talking point. So directors stage things differently, obviously, to try and add to the creativity. And it is that sense of, you know, being there for a set performance, which, no, I enjoy enormously.
And, of course, you could go along with a sighted friend and you're both enjoying it at the same time then as well.
Absolutely.
So Christmas is nearly upon us, and I think I can say that out loud now. But it might be a time to experience or seek out some audio-described theatre.
Absolutely. And again, people tend to associate Christmas with pantomime. And yes, that's a very real part of what's on the programme for many a venue up and down the country. But pantomime may not be your thing, but other family Christmas shows or musicals, which tend to be in different venues at this time of the year, could well be of interest. And it might add to the seasonal festivities, if you enjoy this time of the year, to actually go and dip your toe in the water if you've not been before. Try out some audio description. See if it works for you, not just in terms of the actual description itself, important though that is, while you're sat in your seat and taking in the production, but also the visit to the theatre, the venue generally, picking up the headset, you know, going on the touch tour, ensuring that you've got a drink or an ice cream or your bike to eat if there's something like that provided on site, and just feeling comfortable, enjoying being at the theatre, having a night at the theatre, that's the whole thing. And, you know, if it's something you can share with a family member, a friend or, you know, partner or whatever it happens to be, then hopefully that will add to your Yuletide festivities.
So we'd love to hear from you if you're going to dip your toe in the water with this, or perhaps you're a regular user of audio description. It's at radio.rnib.org.uk and Vidar, and I would love to hear from you. But in the meantime, Vidar, a pleasure to chat with you as always.
Thank you very much, Simon. Good to speak to you too.